I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Patrick Gallo. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to hell, everybody. Woo! Hey, we are warm today from the flames of this.
Toasty. Thank you for joining us. If this is your first week joining us, welcome. If this is not your first week joining us, welcome back.
Welcome. Thank you.
We hope that you enjoyed our last couple of movies. I think I repressed what movie we did last week.
Heartbreakers.
Gone. Heartbreakers. Okay, yes, it's gone. Yeah. That's how good it was, you guys. I love it.
A movie where every posits a world where everyone can't wait to marry Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, and in 3 months' time.
Just can't wait. Rushing to the altar.
We have a couple of episodes in our backlog, but who gives a shit about the backlog James? Do you know why?
So much to talk about.
Because this week, we watched the greatest movie in the entire world. I think it's also another one like Miss Congeniality, where it was on every weekend on TBS. You know it. You love it. Coyote Ugly. Yes, it's so exciting that this is happening.
So yes. Jesus. Well, what did I do to deserve this is what I want to know.
You said you wanted to do something.
What did
with
I do to deserve Coyote Ugly in my life?
This week we did the wonderful and just amazing talent of the Coyote Ugly gals. So we watched Coyote Ugly.
Yeah.
It's from 2000, 1 hour and 40 minutes, not too punishing. It's about 4 minutes over what we kind of deem is
the only good thing about this movie is, well, it's under 2 hours.
I mean, there's that. I told James because he did not want to watch this movie, and I was like, it's an hour 40, and he goes, all right, fine. So this movie is starring Piper Parabo?
That's her name.
I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I've only ever seen it written down. You know.
I've been calling her Hydrox Hillary Swank this entire episode.
That's,
she's like knockoff. I don't know. I'm like, hey, what's up with Hydrox Hillary over here? Okay. I couldn't remember her name. That's right. Piper Parabo. Wow. She was there was a Piper Parabo period of the world that is well gone now.
And John Goodman. The IMDb description. Aspiring songwriter Violet Sanford, after getting a job at a woman-run NYC bar that teases its male patrons, comes out of her shell. Now, I feel like there was a better way to write that because it goes, aspiring songwriter, Violet Sanford, after getting a job. It's a mess is what I'm trying
to say.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to be a hero because we have five taglines today.
Oh, five. Good Lord.
Five.
Are any of them? This movie is shit.
And let me tell you, two of them are 98% the same.
Well, let's hear them. Hit me.
The first tagline of the movie is "The party never ends."
Okay.
Okay.
Fine.
Second one.
What the fuck? All right.
Tonight, they're calling the shots. That doesn't resonate with that movie at all.
I guess it's a bar. Shots.
Yeah, but they're not calling
the
shots.
No, they're not calling
shit. They're dancing on a bar.
They're just like, wordplay? Here you go. I don't know. It's 4 a.m.
Number three, wanna dance? The hottest party of the year.
The hottest party of the year,
but it's not
That's
just
not
one
movie.
Party.
It's not
a
about
bar.
A,
yeah, it's not.
The movie's
like,
not about a party. It's about it's about a girl trying to get a career in songwriting.
We're
so
not. We're not planning one big like party where you know.
But they wanted. They were looking for.
Listen, Leanne Rimes is coming. Let's get our shit together so that we can have a decent. And they're not doing that.
Yeah. I feel like with this movie, they were like, okay, women are going to like it because it's a female lead and it's a story of a young woman trying to do all this. So women are going to like it, but there's also going to be chicks dancing on bars and stuff. So dudes will like it too.
Yeah.
I think that's what they were going for and failed miserably.
Okay. The fourth one is
please.
The Boss, The Law, The Dreamer, The Flame, The Heartbreaker, The Girls of Coyote Ugly.
What?
Because remember Tyra Banks went to law school?
Oh, whoa, that is a real stress. Jesus, you have to pay attention.
And then Lil, forensic. Lil is the boss. I think the dreamer is...
Who cares?
What's her face? Piper. And then I think the flame is the one that's on anger management.
You need a forensic accountant to go over that one and figure out what the hell they're talking about.
And the fifth and final tagline is, this party never ends. So the first one was, the party never ends, but it's this party. In particular, this party never ends.
Jesus, what a disaster.
The fun fact, I think James is really going to enjoy this one. Please. And as soon as I wrote it down, I really just could hear James's cackle in my brain. Are you ready?
Fun fact. Hit me.
John Goodman.
Yeah.
Admitted that the only reason why he did this movie was because of money.
That makes a lot of sense. It fits his performance, and it fits what the hell is John Goodman doing here.
I was going to actually mention that we should retroactively nominate him for an Oscar, because what a performance. He was great. I love John Goodman.
That's the weird thing. The John Goodman angle is what made me think, we'll get into the plot and everything, but this movie, the theme that we keep finding is this is like an old theme. This movie's like basically a story from the 40s that they just keep recycling of like, kid from the small town's going to go to the big city, make it as a songwriter. Like that even exists anymore. You go to the big city to be a songwriter.
I will applaud because the movie is from 2000, and I will applaud the filmmakers for the artists for at least giving us like pretty accurate technology for that time period.
Yeah, except no one has a cell phone.
Yeah, they don't have any cell phones, but none of them have that much money to like afford a cell phone.
No, someone's got a cell phone in this movie.
And I'm sure that they do, but nobody was like, don't go over my minutes or anything like that.
Yeah, but still, there's not one even, no one even is carrying one in the course of the movie. But the John Goodman thing I was talking about and the story being recycled is, this movie is exactly the movie Punchline.
Yeah.
It's from like 88 with Tom Hanks and Sally Field, which is like, Tom Hanks and Sally Field, there's a couple Oscars between them and shit like that, and that movie's a piece of shit.
I want to watch it. I like Sally Field.
It's a terrible movie. And the thing that's weird about it is, just like this movie, Sally Field is a New Jersey housewife instead of a daughter who wants to go to New York City
to be a house daughter.
That's what she is, though. She's taking care of John Goodman. She's a house daughter. That's exactly what she is. House Daughters of New Jersey. The Real House Daughters of New Jersey. That's the show I want to watch. The Real House Daughters.
Okay, we need to come up with
that. We just invented that. That's a great show. But in Punchline,
I need this show in my life.
The person trying to keep Sally Field in New Jersey and not and go to New York to do this is fucking John Goodman. Yeah. It's her. He plays her husband. So it's the same exact. It's literally, it could be a continuation. Yeah. Like, he's older. The kids are about Piper Perabo's age in Punchline. So here's my theory. Her mother is Sally Field from Punchline. Okay. That's her real mother.
Okay.
And the mother instead was a songwriter and all that, but quit that to try stand up and then died. As we know, that's not in Punchline. That's after Punchline. She died.
I was just going to say, wait.
And then John Goodman has been forced to raise her without Sally Field all this time. And now she's going to be a songwriter in New Jersey. And he's like, not again.
Or what if it was like, that's actually her grandfather, but like her mom and dad are like too young. So then he has to, and then he's maybe. Just like, I'm your dad.
But
and you're just like, whatever,
it
I have a really
fits,
old
though.
Dad.
Like, they have, like, in 1988, they have, like, John Goodman and Sally Field have, like, a seven-year-old daughter. So it's, like, exactly the same age as her. Yeah. Like, it could be her. It's weird. So, sorry.
Well, let's not talk about the plot of our fake movie or House Daughters of New Jersey.
The Real House Daughters of New Jersey.
I want that
okay. bad.
But anyway, so let's talk about the plot of this movie, because it is gorgeous.
All right.
We open on a pizza place.
Well, before that, we open on a credit that says a Jerry Bruckheimer film, which means when they cut to the pizza place, you expect it to explode. And it doesn't.
And like, everybody is like rail thin in these movies. They're like, it's just, it made me feel bad as I'm sitting there eating strawberry chocolate Milanos. And I'm like, I probably shouldn't be doing this anymore. I can't stop eating cookies. Okay.
I wanted pizza.
So opens on a pizza place. This is where our main character, Violet, works. For some reason, she doesn't look like a Piper. She does look more like a Violet. So for all intents and purposes of this show, she will be Violet. Okay.
I'll call her Hydrox Hillary.
Hydrox Hillary. So she's like talking shit to these guys at the pizza counter.
It's more like a bar than a pizza place. It's all regulars.
It looks like Cheers, and like, these two guys are talking, and she's talking shit.
They're arguing about who ate the most. They had a pie-eating
contest.
I ate eight pies. You ate... And she's like, listen,
pizza.
guys, it's six pies, and then I had to take you to the emergency room to pump your stomach. So she's like in charge of this room with like these Mook Jersey guys.
And she's like, as she's doing that, she's like cutting this pizza, but she only cut it twice. So that's like four mega slices.
What the
hell
is
like,
that?
Ma'am, how have you worked here for this long?
This is weird.
Should be quitting.
Yeah.
The boss asks her to sign, like you can tell, like you don't have to know. He doesn't have a name tag on, but he's like, he's her boss. And he says, can you sign this like slip, like, you know, that they take the orders on the pad? So he's like, can you sign this slip? And then he sticks it up on the wall. And then he makes this weird comment about how, like, he's like gesturing at the wall of all other waitresses and waiters that have left the pizza place. I think it's mostly waitresses.
It's waitresses who have left to pursue a bigger dream.
And he's like, here's my, wall of fame or whatever. And then he's like, none of them have made it. Good luck, sweetheart.
Yeah, that wall's kind of cursed, the one guy said.
Thanks a bunch.
One of the pizza arguers goes, that wall's kind of cursed. I won't even sit near it.
Well, okay, so like if you're a patron of this establishment and then you're in there and you're like, oh, what's with all of these women with their signatures next to them? This isn't creepy. And then just like, oh, they all went to go pursue their dreams and they failed miserably. And check it out. They were more successful at my pizza place. Anyway.
And then one of the pizza contest people bringing like, guests in there, like some people from out of town. Hey, this is my favorite place. Don't sit. That's the cursed wall. You don't want to sit near there. Like,
if you want to be successful, don't sit next to that
wall.
You want
to sit next to the cursed wall. It's failed waitresses.
So we're getting a sense of this is a send-off for our friend Violet, okay? This is a send-off of some sorts. And then we cut to a scene at like a karaoke-type bar where Violet's friends are sending her off to make her sing a song and to kind of, you know, she's going to go follow her dreams and let's embarrass our friends in front of hundreds of people. Sounds good.
Violet's going to New York.
So she's, exactly. That's exactly what I was just going to bring up. They are currently in New Jersey. They are currently living in New Jersey.
This is the best part. Yeah.
She is moving to New York City. They're acting like this is like rural Kansas.
Yes.
And she like, oh, you're going to move up to that big city. Like
they're all
like
going to wave at the bus.
Like what Kenneth says in 30 Rock.
Like they're all going to wave at the bus as it pulls away from the depot with a big cloud of dust behind it as she gets on with her two suitcases.
And John Goodman says to the driver, he's like, you be good to her, Al. Like, you know what I mean? Like, get her there
that's
safe.
That's what it was.
It was so weird. I was like, wait, she lives in New Jersey.
It's like an hour away.
Yeah.
Like she even tells her dad, she's like, I'll be home every Sunday to do your laundry. She's a fucking hour away.
Yeah.
Who cares?
All she has to do is commute into the city.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand.
As a person who's from like an hour from New York City, I know plenty of people that moved to the city. It wasn't like, oh man, they're leaving. We need a big send off.
We'll never see them again.
It's like, oh, cool. You lived. Oh, sweet. So I got a reason to come down to the city and hang out. Cool. I got a friend down there now. Yeah. No one's sad. They're like, awesome.
But everybody's acting goodbye forever, Violet.
It's an hour fucking way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like to get across the city of Phoenix takes more than an hour.
Yeah.
It would be like if she moved from Peoria to Mesa. You'd be like, oh, Christ, she's leaving forever.
Yeah, and she's got to be pretty familiar with, you know, she's not going to be like, oh my God, this is a scary city. Like, I think that she would have more of a culture shock of living on her own as opposed to...
If you're from Jersey, you've been to New York 100 times. Yeah. As a kid, you went to on field trips, you went to the Museum of Natural History and all that shit. You've been to a Yankee game in the Bronx. You've been to the Empire State Building. Yeah. You've been all that shit as a kid, just in school field trips.
Yes, exactly. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then also that the choice of song that they make her sing at karaoke is I Will Survive.
Yeah. And they continue that song for like four scenes.
Yeah.
It plays over the background for like four scenes. I meant to say, sorry, about the punchline thing. This is the problem with movies like this, okay?
Oh, this is the problem.
I'm going to tell you the essential problem with movies like this and Punchline because they're the same movie and it's the same exact problem.
Right.
Okay. To write a good hit song is really difficult. And good, like people who are genius songwriters, they pump out for every 40 songs they pump out, they have a hit, and they don't know which ones are going to be a hit.
Well,
wherever they're pumping it out, that's the best they can do.
Yeah.
And then one might hit.
And you've got to have the right person and the, you know,
it's
I mean?
All like, a thing. Yeah. So to be able to make a movie where the person's a songwriter, they have to be writing this amazing song, which isn't possible to fucking write. That's the problem.
I'm gonna take offense on behalf of Can't Fight the Moonlight.
It's just a forgettable mediocre pop song. It's the same problem with Punchline. Is they tried to make it stand up, but you know what's really hard? Writing jokes for stand up.
Yeah.
And you don't know if they work or whatever. So some fucking writer just wrote a bunch of jokes that sounded stand up-y and sent them up there, and it looks like shit because if you're good at writing those jokes that good to where they're going to be amazing, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be out on a fucking stage.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense. That's exactly. That's why it'll never work to make a movie about shit like that.
Well, I'm offended on behalf of the song Can't Fight the Moonlight because it cannot speak it's for itself. So how dare you?
It's,
all right.
I can't even know one of the lyrics. It's just so forgettable.
Okay. James, I'm going to tell you right now.
So forgettable.
You can try to resist.
Yeah.
You can try to hide from the kiss, but you know.
Is that the words?
You know. That you cannot fight the moonlight.
Was that right. song like out?
Yeah, it was out. Oh my sister God. Listened to it all the time. Leanne Rimes. Stop it.
They're acting like she's going to the space program.
Yeah, I know.
Violet's going to Mars.
Yeah, she's going to New York. Cut to breakfast with Dad, John Goodman. And John Goodman is reading the newspaper and he keeps doing like, oh, another death in New York City. Like, we live in New Jersey. Like,
yeah.
Like, we haven't been hearing this at all anyway.
He says, 4 people murdered last night in New York City. Police have no leads.
Yeah. That's going to be you.
4 out of 7 million ain't bad, I guess.
Violet's telling, she's running around the house like crazy, like, you know, telling her dad about Eileen Cuisine. They're in the freezer, so high in sodium.
Yeah.
If you're on a diet, it's not a big deal. Like, I hear you. I partied with Lean Cuisine.
John
all
Goodman
the time,
needs help, though.
He needs
it's
like
better
a whole,
than Kentucky
like,
Fried Chicken,
yeah,
which is
it's
what he
not
eats
gonna
later.
Be the chicken enchilada Suiza is not gonna help him out.
It's better than whatever he's eating,
the
probably.
Three cheese ziti is not gonna help my man's out. So she's telling him, don't do the laundry. You're hopeless at the laundry. He's a grown man, he's not disabled, he can care for himself, but she's acting like you have no idea what chores are.
I feel like she's like, that's her way of being like, things won't change that much for you, so you shouldn't be that upset about me leaving. I'll even be home to do your laundry every Sunday, just like it usually is.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, Dad.
But she's making it, she's also doing like where she keeps, you know, saying all this stuff, like, you know, making him feel like he doesn't know how to care for himself.
Mm.
And then it's like, well, if you feel the need to make sure that he knows all of these things and kind of give him a crash course and like how to survive, even though he raised you and he made sure that you could survive, then maybe you shouldn't leave.
If he's that
fucking helpless,
that much of a
and
problem.
Helpless, and it's just like, oh, Dad's gonna put his socks in the freezer again. Like, then you shouldn't leave.
But essentially, all it is he doesn't know how to do laundry, which is really all it is. There's,
no,
it's
I
not
thought
like,
he was just like bad at it because he's like, oh, my socks. Like,
yeah,
whatever. But, like,
he's bad.
He was
at,
just
he's
bad
at. Doing laundry is
Which,
the essential.
How can
nothing
you be
else.
Bad at laundry?
He's like not physically disabled. He's got a job and he works in the toll booth and everything. So
yeah,
I don't know.
So he, and then I forgot. I wrote down a note about this because he's also commenting. John Goodman in the newspaper. He's commenting about how the handrails on the subway system will bring about the next plague.
Yes, we'll
and I don't
want to
say.
Plague.
Everybody keeps saying that James and Jimmy predicted the future. I'm going to say John Goodman's character.
He did.
Bill fucking predicted it.
Is that his name?
Bill did it. Yeah.
I don't
it was
know.
Bill, I don't remember what her last name
outside
was.
Outside of Violet, I don't know.
Sanford. Bill Sanford.
Anybody in this movie's name. They mention maybe once, and then the rest of the movie, they don't mention anyone's name.
Well,
everyone's just very familiar with each other, so.
So
it's not helpful.
Like James said, Violet is leaving New York, the small town of New York. The small, you know, the slums in the small town of New Jersey to go
across
New
the tunnel.
York City. And she's going to be a songwriter. And, you know, she wants to have her dad's support. And he kind of gives her like, you know, like winkety wink. I'm still proud of you. And I hope that you succeed. But I also don't want you to
but
go.
But I also, stay here with me.
Her friend is going to take her to New York. And she does a terrible accent.
That's the other thing too. John Goodman has a Midwestern accent in this movie. Like, you can't make John Goodman from New Jersey. You just can't. He's always has that Midwestern accent.
Mr. Connor.
And everyone else, her friend sounds like, you know, sounds like Christopher's girlfriend in The Sopranos. That's who.
No, she sounds like she's doing a terrible impression
but
of
I mean,
Adriana.
That's what I mean. A terrible impression of that. Piper Perabo, not a fucking touch of an accent. She's just a mookie Jersey girl working in the pizza place with her dad as a toll booth opera. Not a touch of accent. Her friends
accent.
All have it. Her perfect diction from old Piper. Your ass. Have you ever met a girl from New Jersey?
Yes, I have met a girl from New Jersey.
They don't
and
sound
I was
like that,
even
ever.
If you're trying to stifle never. Your accent, but like this girl, her accent is so terrible, and I'm not saying that mine would be any better, but she's like
She looks like Flo,
she's like
her
chugging
friend.
Pepto-Bismol, and she always plays like the friend character.
Imagine
like
a younger Flo from progressive commercials.
Yeah,
chugging
like
Pepto-Bismol with a heavy New Jersey accent.
Pepto-Bismol, and then she's like crying because she's like, "Oh, we always said we was gonna get married at the same time, and then we didn't do that." But I'm even doing it like better than what she's doing.
Yeah, hers is bad.
It's bad because you're like, is that a Boston accent?
It's bad. It's really indecipherable. It's a little Long Islandy sometimes. It goes off the rails a lot.
So we finally did it. Our journey is over. It took us like an hour and 15 to get from New Jersey to New York. And so they're like throwing fish heads in the
street.
She
dusts herself off when she gets off the stagecoach, you know?
$3.
Yes.
Too bad.
It's fucking, she gets to Chinatown.
And people are like throwing fish heads in the street.
Chinatown is 100% from the 40s.
Yeah.
It's like this crammed little area with like rickshaws and a guy comes out dumping fish heads in the street, which is like, they make piles, but that's not like that. That's not how they do it. It's, I don't know.
And her like apartment looks abandoned. It doesn't even look
condemned.
Like the plumbing works. It looks condemned.
Everything is rusty. The brick has rust in this fucking apartment.
Yeah.
Everything is rusty.
And,
the
like,
counters
there's garbage
have rust
everywhere.
On.
And so the friend gives her like a roll of money and she's
a
like,
Jersey roll.
I saved this for you. Like, and, like she's saying, I'm going to give this to you because I've saved up a bunch of money.
She said, I saved it for a rainy day. And looking at this place, it's a rainy day. And gives it to her.
Yeah.
And puts it in her freezer.
Mm-hmm. And so she puts it in the freezer and I'm like, okay, is this broad? Is her husband like in the mafia? Like, why does she have money
it's
rolled up?
It's just a
like
bunch
that?
Of 20s. It's probably from working at the goddamn whatever, you know, ice cream stand shithole place
maybe
she was working.
Her dad's in the mafia?
Possibly. I mean, you never know.
Or maybe she's like Adriana's sister?
That's possible. Or are we going to
maybe we're having the Sopranos universe and this universe combined?
With Punchline and this and Burlesque, as we're going to talk about. And all sorts of worlds are crashing together here.
She kind of gets herself like remotely settled. And again, like this apartment seems to be pretty well furnished. I'm not sure how the two of them got everything up there in such a short amount of time.
No, in one carload.
But she starts to play her keyboard piano that she has. And people are immediately banging on the wall.
Oh,
and
first,
they pull... like her first note.
She's like, bung. And they're
then,
like, you stop, you stop,
you
stop. Yeah, bad Chinese accents through a wall.
Well, they're trying to make it seem like New York, like everybody's so mean there.
Yeah.
Like this is the big, mean,
and
cold
the,
city.
The walls are so thin that
you
one
can hear,
note.
Bung.
And when the person bangs on the wall, they shake physically so fucking pictures fall off the frames. No firewalls, no nothing. Just
no
plaster.
Nothing.
Not even drywall between them.
So she goes up to... She goes up to the roof with her keyboard.
Yeah, this is the place I can have freedom.
And she's got like her keyboard and she's got this whole setup up there and she's like singing out loud on the rooftop nobody can hear her up there.
Rooftop Hydrox Hillary.
Rooftop Hydrox.
She's belting it out.
So she's like singing up there and it's fine. You're just kind of like, this is going to be great. This is what our life is going to be like. You know, let's strap in. This movie is taking us to places.
Ugh.
Now we have like a weird kind of like an almost montage of her trying to submit like a cassette tape. Like she's trying to, like she's going to all these like record places and all these places and like trying to give them her cassette tape. And
first it's like record companies.
And they're so rude. They're
Ellen Cleghorn is in from SNL, who I always said after SNL she was off. I was like, what the hell ever happened
she's
to Ellen
hilarious.
Cleghorn? She should be in more shit. And then it's nice to see her have a job, actually. But her character is to be a total dick to Hydrox Hillary. Just
but
an
what,
asshole.
So she's like, I want to give this tape to somebody. And Ellen's like, oh, well, I'm an aspiring sax player. And I,
dancer.
Blah, blah, blah.
So I came to New York to be a dancer. And then I broke
I thought
my
she said a sax player.
No, that's the other guy. That's the bartender.
Oh, that's
the,
right. Sorry.
Other place.
Yeah.
She says she broke
dancer,
her big toe and then
she
had to do this
toe,
and that.
And she got knocked up and whatever.
she got knocked up. She did say that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
she's like, so why would I want to help you?
Yes.
And Hydrox just takes a walk.
We understand. We understand that everybody who lives in New York, all of their dreams have been shattered and that, you know, Violet is totally whimsical and, you know, just dumb for trying to pursue hers.
Absolutely. GoBots Swank is just going from place to place.
She's like GoBots Swank. so she goes to this bar.
Yeah.
And she orders a Pepsi and crackers. But like, it's weird because she goes to this bar and they're playing music there. And she goes up to the bartender and she's like, do you know where I can like submit my tape?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you would ask a fucking bartender.
Who can I
submit?
Because there's like, yeah, music that goes on there.
Yeah, so she's like, do you know anybody that I can submit my tape to? And he's the one that said he was a sax player, whatever. Yeah. And then she sees some dude walking up, you know, talking to everybody, you know, high-fiving with a hug and everybody.
Yeah, the bartenders and
shit. And she's like, oh, who is that man? I'm going to tell you. Well, first of all, hilarious that she thinks that the bartender is going to be. She's like, excuse me, who is that? Yeah. It's not like that guy waved at the bartender.
Yeah, the guy's like, listen, Flavor Aid, Hillary Swank, calm down a minute.
Let's take it down a notch.
Let's calm down a little bit.
Yeah. So she, take it easy, store brand. All right.
Yeah, that's what she is.
So she, okay, I'm going to tell you who this man is. All right.
This is deep, man. You got to buckle up, everybody.
This man is Australian Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld's Australian illegitimate son, we decided.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is what we have determined.
Yeah.
He looks like, you're like, oh, well, he kind of resembles Jerry Seinfeld. Like, he would look like him if that was, like, his son.
Yeah.
So, he
mix
is,
it with an Australian woman.
He is Australian Jerry Seinfeld O'Donnell, okay? That's
yeah.
That's his full name.
His name's O'Donnell.
That's his God-given name is thing. Australian Jerry Seinfeld
Jerry
O'Donnell.
Seinfeld.
Okay.
We figure that our theory is that Seinfeld did some dates in Australia
and
toured through there, you know, had a little nookie on the side, and then this is the result, and we find out, oh, God, later.
Yeah.
They're so deep. It's so deep.
It's,
we'll get to it.
It's layered.
It's layered, man. It's layered. It's true. We'll put it that way. Yeah. It's definitely true.
This movie should be called Coyote Onion.
It's and it's not
it
a legend.
Stinks and there's a lot of layers.
This
okay.
man is Jerry Seinfeld's illegitimate Australian son. Not a legend. That
not
is a factual.
Not a legend.
It's factual.
It's obvious. Okay, so Violet, she kind of, you know, like, you know, she's kind of standing in a back alley behind the bar afterwards and stops him. Oh, because we find out that Australian Jerry Seinfeld is.
The bartender tells her that
he's like a manager.
He's the guy who handles all the music acts.
Yes.
He's the guy in charge.
He's like,
of that.
He's the manager. He books everybody and blah, 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 but he actually works in the kitchen.
Like,
sorry.
Yeah,
I got
like
so
level.
Wrapped up in who he was and I just forgot.
He's like
I forgot to tell you who he was.
He's like the third sous chef. Like,
yeah.
He's not.
And he's like,
high up
he
in
comes
the
in there like joking and laughing and he's like almost going to get fired, right? So, anyway, after his shift, he's getting off work. Everybody who works at that bar is walking out of the building and Violet approaches him. And she's like, hello, Mr. O'Donnell. My name is Violet Sanford, and this isn't weird, and I'm going to give you my cassette tape.
Yeah,
and,
I'm sorry,
you know,
to
blah, blah, blah.
You,
sorry to bother you.
I'm an aspiring
and she's
songwriter.
Like, shaking his hand and being all professional. Like, she had to really, like, pump herself up for that. And then we find out that he's not actually. He works in the kitchen, so he's trying to, like, go along with it. And she finds out that he's not the actual manager, so she's kind of mad at him. And he's... Well, she's like, she's, you know, like, she's embarrassed and that's okay. Like, she's allowed to be embarrassed. But I was really proud of her because she's
I'll tell you that much.
She's got such stage fright, but she had a lot of moxie to like talk.
That's
to
what
him,
I mean.
She's like,
her
yo, listen to my tape.
She'll walk in anywhere and be like, you should hire me. She walks into William Morris, the agency at one point.
And unplugs
like,
the phone.
And she's all bossy with the fucking receptionist guy. And I'm like, where is this when why did you have stage fright? Clearly you have balls.
Yeah, you've got balls. You got some moxie.
Get up
like,
there
let's
and do it.
So she's like running away and like into the empty streets. And at first I remember thinking, I'm like, she's gonna get lost because she's never
she just moved here.
Yeah, she just moved here and like
and
even,
it's confusing down there and when you get down.
And especially since she's like weaving in and out of neighborhoods and in and out of
Little,
you know,
Italy
whatever
and Soho and Chinatown's
so
confusing.
She kind of calls him out on lying to her.
Her brain is melting right
and
now.
And he says to her, like, that he's like, well, you threw yourself at me, which is like, okay, listen, guys, like, not everybody's throwing themselves at you if they're being polite.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I was kind of mad at her because she says, I didn't throw myself at you. I was pretending to be sweet and innocent so you would listen to my tape. We can't do that anymore, gals. Like, you don't.
This is like 2000.
No,
moment.
I know, but like pretending to be so sweet and innocent just so people will be like nice to you and like, do that stuff. It's just like that's so much energy because now you have to go back and be like, I don't care if you want to listen to my tape or not. You like my great. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then what? Then they're going to think that you're super nice and that you want to hang out and like whatever. And then she's like, I just wanted you to listen to my tape. And it's just like, you should have just been like, hey, will you listen to it? Cool.
Yeah,
like,
here you go.
I think it's, you know, give me some feedback. Not be like, oh, like, do you think?
Yeah, you're right. She played that card. You're totally right. And she's also. also like
we can't do it anymore.
We can't. It's over, ladies.
We are going to
listen,
be,
gals.
We are going to be broads and house daughters.
Listen, broads. Let me tell you something. But like the other thing that I don't get is she's always like she walks out into the night at 3 o'clock in the morning later on, just counting money out in the air.
Yeah.
This is from a weird time period from like the late '90s, early 2000s, when Sex and the City told the world that it was perfectly safe for like tipsy women to walk around in 6-inch yeah. heels at 2 o'clock in the morning alone it's in not. Bad neighborhoods in yeah. New York City and everything will be fine because yeah. it's just it's all good now. That is still to this day not
dangerous.
Fucking advisable.
Yeah,
every time she walks out I'm like the you know whatever in me is like, well, is someone gonna like walk her to her fucking car or something? Yeah. She's gonna get fucking mugged out there.
Yeah.
She weighs 105 pounds. Yeah. She's walking around with a handful of cash in a bad neighborhood.
Yeah,
what's going on?
So she again, like James said, she goes to William Morris, which is a you know a pretty good agency,
yeah.
and she's very bold. And the guy that she unplugs the phone, he's just like, I guess you'll just have to be heard at an open mic like everybody else.
Everybody else.
So she yeah. decides to go to an open mic. Now, I don't think that she knew that he was kind of being salty. Like, you know, nobody
yeah.
cares about
he
you.
Was like,
he's like, you and everybody else, lady. Like,
she's
you know
like,
what I mean?
William Morris gave me some advice, so,
yeah, so
I'm here now. That's the way she took it.
This is our first experience of her stage fright, all right? So she gets up there, she's ready to sing, and then nope.
We're bop, like seven
bop.
Minutes into
yeah.
the movie, but
no,
I feel like we're like, it's fuck, man.
After she, you know, she's terrified because she just got stage fright, and then she's running home, and she's disappointed in herself, and her apartment got robbed. It got broken into.
Yeah.
They took her money. They like
tossed
they broke,
the place.
They strategically broke everything so that
even
the
lamp.
Whole entire floor would be covered
yeah.
in glass and garbage.
She just moved in. She doesn't have that many possessions.
Yeah.
Even the lamp's broken, yet somehow, and two scenes later, she still got her keyboard and her guitar.
Yep.
They
yeah,
didn't
no,
take
no.
those.
They were like, you know what? That's valuable. Like,
I think,
let's leave it with her. Who's
I think it made him feel
Casio?
Bad. It was like, you know what? I was in a band in high school, and it didn't work out, and
yeah.
it's a painful memory, and if I take that guitar with me, then I'm just going to keep thinking about failed endeavors,
yeah.
and you know what? I'm going to leave it behind. I feel
yeah.
bad enough about this whole robbery
yeah.
thing.
Let's not take a Casio.
Let's not take it. Or the guitar. I mean, I could sell it at a pawn shop, obviously, which is kind of
but
what I am
at a burglar.
She probably
needs
but
it to recoup her losses from
yeah,
what I just
it's
did.
It's just big. I don't want to carry it.
So to kind of, you know, lick her wounds, she's going to go to this diner. All right. So she goes to this diner and she's, you know,
oh, yeah,
like
that's how we figure this
foraging
out.
Like $2 bills out of her pocket. And she's like, will this cover a slice of pie?
Yeah, they give her free
and
pie.
And he gives her a free pie, kind of throws one at her there, and we see in you know behind her there's these three gals and they're all talking at the table. And
one is Tyra Banks, by the
one
way.
One is Tyra Banks, and then there's the other two. There's
yeah.
the Alanis Morissette knockoff one, and then there's the other
one,
the blonde one who was in Pearl Harbor, and I don't know
is that
her
who
name.
She is.
She was in Pearl
okay.
Harbor.
Okay, she looked familiar, but I couldn't place
yeah.
her. But
but anyway, so she goes to this diner, and they're all sitting there, and they're all at the diner, and they're in these like scantily clad outfits. Just talking about how much money that they made, and they're holding up like stacks of money. They're like, we made $300 each. And I'm like, what
they're
are
just,
you doing?
They're betting on Playboy magazine
like,
with
what
the centerfolds.
People like,
and they're like throwing money. They're in constant motion. There's
yeah,
constantly
getting up
shit
and
on the table and food and putting ketchup on things and getting up and dancing and moving. And there's constant silverware
yeah.
clacking around. It's like, shut the fuck up, you three. Jesus
We're trying
Christ.
To fucking eat. It's late
yeah.
night. We're trying to eat our shitty fucking, you know, diner food.
Tyra Banks does the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in a movie.
What?
And I love ketchup, and this is the weirdest why a director would tell someone to do this, I have no
I feel like
fucking
it was a
idea
choice.
But whenever if Tyra Banks if you ever run into Tyra Banks, let's just say from time to time, as we all
and
do,
many of you will,
if you ever do, and she's just acting a little high and mighty, like she's a little better than you, bring this up. The fact that she fucking squirted a big squirt of ketchup on her finger and then ate it like she was and then put it like people do with frosting on a cake
yeah.
and they scoop. That's what she did, except she squirted ketchup all over her finger and just like ate
Ew,
it like
gross. Yeah, that was nasty
because they needed constant movement. And it's like, okay, you guys have done money. What else can you do? Squirt some ketchup on your finger and eat it. That's something
yeah.
I can cut to. I don't know.
But
You're
I
a
was
piece of shit.
The responsible house daughter in me was wondering. Shouldn't Violet be filing an insurance claim that her apartment got broken into?
Fuck no. She didn't even call the cops, I don't think.
She didn't call the cops. And that's what's so funny is that even in Burlesque,
yeah.
she didn't call the cops. She was
yeah.
just like, I don't live there anymore.
Yeah, that's it. I'll just move.
I just
move.
Don't live there.
Yeah, she just moved, man.
Yeah,
like,
but
who
this
does
one's
that?
Like, oh, it's cool.
She rebuilt.
My house definitely won't. Like, we see no trauma. We see no, she's not like all paranoid about leaving her apartment.
Never comes up again.
She doesn't like try to like.
When she opens her door, she's not like, you know,
have a bat close to the door. No, never.
Doesn't give a fuck.
So I was like, damn, she's already getting hardened to the city life.
Hardened. Old Hydrox Hillary is hardened. Hardened Hydrox Hillary.
Oh, that's her wrestling name.
That's her, man.
Harden. Okay, so anyway, she sees how much cash they're flashing, and like they also conveniently bring up out loud in the diner that Tyra Banks is going to be going to law school.
Oh yeah,
so this
she's
is
out.
Her last night as a last night working with them, as this is a last night as a coworker. And are you sure you don't want to do this?
Let's all
and,
do
like,
a
blah,
shot
blah,
of ketchup to celebrate.
Yeah, let's all do a shot of ketchup. That's your send off. So she wants, Violet goes and she, you know, finds out what bar they work at, and she goes down there and she wants
who
to.
Who are those
like,
girls?
Yeah, they're coyotes.
And the diner guy just reaches in his shirt pocket.
Well, because he's also dancing and like shimmying and
he
stuff.
He just reaches in his shirt pocket and whips out a matchbook and tosses it to her that has the bar name on it that where
the
they were.
Coyotes.
Because he just has that on him.
Yes. So she finds the Coyote Ugly bar and she finds the owner and she's like, I'm looking to get a job. She gets an audition only because she's got some balls. Because like, oh, you're like a waitress with a superiority complex.
Yeah, are you really the owner? Because if you're just a waitress on a superiority trip, then you're wasting my time and I don't need to do this. And she's like, you're hired.
Yeah.
Or you get an audition.
Yeah, you get an audition. So she gets the audition.
Moves this movie along.
And I love that when she gets like, you know, her first night at the bar, the bouncer's like, do you have an ID? And she's like, oh, I'm supposed to start working tonight.
And he goes, yeah, go ahead.
And then he's just like, no sweat. He doesn't try to like confirm it with anybody.
He just waves her by, keeps reading.
Yeah.
And he's got a book, yet this place is well beyond fire code packed.
Oh, God.
Like, and to where the guy at the door, A, he's at the door, so he wouldn't have time to read, and B... Yeah. So you're going to have to patrol this or something.
Yeah, they should have like a clicker to count
how
many people are in there. Yeah, just a book. And he's just like, oh, you work here? That's good enough for me.
He says, you picked a good night to start tonight. He goes, it's a little slow, but it should pick up later. And then they turn the camera to
fucking bedlam. And it's chaos. There's a bunch of people in there. So we're in Coyote Ugly. The bartenders are all dancing on top of the bar. They're pouring alcohol, lighting the bar on fire. They're...
Like that's what bars do. They like to pour booze on the counter.
So much alcohol all over the fucking
bars
counter.
Get mad if you give someone a free drink. Like they're pouring half bottles of booze all over the counter, lighting it on
everywhere.
Fire.
Yeah,
they pour drinks too. They pour twice as much as they actually get in glasses.
Yeah,
it's fucking terrible bartenders.
And like they're, you know, she's one of them's cutting some guy's ponytail off, and we're finding out that she got, you know, she got a raise because of that behavior. And like they're like blasting people in the face with water.
They're dancing on the bar, but then they're bartenders too. But then they stop bartending for like 4 minutes
at
a time.
And then three of them will get up on the bar and dance, and then leaving their two other coworkers to like bartend. And like when they
7,000 people,
it's fucking crowded in there.
It's
so how like
weird.
That would be the worst bar. I'd love to see the reviews.
Yeah, I waited.
Could
so
not
long.
Get a drink to
and
save my
not
life.
Not to mention the bar's filthy because people are always dancing on it from behind the bar.
Their
sticky
feet and shoes.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. Behind the bar is gross. It's
yeah,
all
it is.
Sticky.
It's disgusting.
If you
I used to be a bartender.
And then jump up on the bar. The bar is disgusting.
Yeah.
Luckily, that's why you light it on fire, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just like burlesque, where you look at it and you go, "Who is this bar for?"
Yeah.
Why does it exist? These women don't have their clothes off.
No.
So they're dead. So all these men, there's groups of sailors there screaming, oh my God.
Yeah.
They're in fucking jeans and a tank top. They're not dressed in any way.
And
it
this
makes
isn't like
no
a really,
sense.
This isn't like, there's no stakes to this bar. It's
no.
not, it's like a really cool, like underground place.
No.
Or like, this is the hottest bar in town. It's impossible to become a bartender there.
Nope.
Like, it's just, you know, it's just there.
It's just there.
But there are
but
a couple.
Heaving with business.
Yeah.
Packed.
And there are a couple of rules for working there.
Oh, yeah.
You can't date the customers and you can't bring your boyfriend into the bar. You must. Not you, even if you aren't available, you know, you kind of have to be available,
she
but
said
not
you have
be available.
To seem available without actually being available.
Yes.
That's the
and,
thing there.
The one complaint that I have is that she's, you know, doing the audition type of thing. And yes, I mean, she's stumbling and she's trying to, because one, she doesn't know where all the alcohol bottles are. She's not going to know where they keep everything. It's her first day. But I really hate when people, like when you're new and people are, expect you to, one, understand the job fully, as because this is your first day, so you have no idea.
They're like, look, you need to keep up. And you're like, I don't even know where the vodka is.
So yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where, and she didn't even get like, hey,
where's the soda gun? What's going on?
Get here at 5. We'll go over everything with you. They're like, no, come at 11 in the middle of everybody's shift, so we have no time for you to learn anything. No on the job training or, you know, anything like that. And then let's just fucking like see how much abuse you can handle.
That's it. And how much shit you can take from the customers, how much shit you can take from coworkers, how much abuse you can handle. And then they're abusing the customers because people are like ordering mixed drinks and they're like, you fucking idiot, we don't have mixed drinks. It's like, what is this, Deadwood?
Do you think you serve margaritas here? It's like, well, yeah, you're a bar. I do assume that you serve margaritas.
We have beer and Jack and Jim and all my Jose and all my favorite guys, and you're only in shot form. So it's just, you can only get shots and beers at this bar, but yet it's heaving.
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's girls that dance and get themselves wet on the, I mean, douse themselves in water and alcohol.
Lying around the block, she says, out there to get in.
Yeah. Okay. So, So what I really hate is that when you have these expectations for your new coworker to be perfect at their job,
mm-hmm.
and also to completely understand your culture just by walking in the door. It's like, first of all, when I'm coming into a new place, I'm trying to figure out, like, number one, what I'm doing. Number two, where I fit in.
Yeah.
And number three, like, what the fuck's going on? Like, I'm sure that it's not hard to be a bartender. And I mean, you can fudge it up a little bit. And if, like, so if you're training to be a bartender now, or if you're thinking about it for whatever, you can get away with it by being, I know there's a couple of ways to make that. How do you want me to make it? You know what I mean? Like, you can get away with certain stuff, but like, to just be like, well, we need you to understand that we don't serve water in this bar. It's like, okay, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
so,
well,
like,
why not?
No, I don't
it's
know
alcohol.
What your culture
you want people
is.
Throwing up on the floor?
Yeah.
Like, that's a very irresponsible, like, we'll serve you just shots with no water ever. Like, what
yeah,
the hell
you
kind
can't
of
have
fucking,
any water, no
there's
water.
There's no food or water there, just fucking liquor. It's like a cowboy bar.
Good luck.
Good luck. It's and when she gets there, it's very much like Cocktail with Tom Cruise. It's like Cocktail meets Burlesque. That's what this movie is.
Oh.
Meets Punchline.
Yeah, that's exactly
what Jerry
it is.
Seinfeld's son, starring Australian Jerry Seinfeld O'Donnell Jr.
O'Donnell. No, wait. So O'Donnell Jr., he'll have a...
Okay. Just make him a junior.
Anyway, so there's a huge line at the bar. And like we said, there's like, you know, four or five people that are, you know, get up on the fucking bar and dance.
Oh.
And just, you know, they're like, oh, it's really busy and you got to keep up. And like, your girl can't keep up. And it's like, well, yeah, because you guys are going up there dancing to Devil Went Down to Georgia.
1 minute.
I just started here.
Yeah.
And I don't fucking know where the, what's happening.
Exactly.
And
now, one minute they're playing that. And the next minute they're playing Unbelievable over and over again. And I'm like, what is happening?
So it's her, you know, her first day. It's her first audition. And, you know, Lil sends her home and she's like, Lil's the boss. And she's like, hey, thanks for coming, you know, da da da. And Violet takes this as she's being fired. And she's like, well, yeah, it was an audition. Like, you know, I didn't say that you were hired. I just said this. Violet proceeds to go out. She seems pretty disappointed. And she sees these two dudes going to go fight. And she's just like, again, huge balls on this girl. And she's like, hey, break
not
it up, you
all.
Two. I'm going to give you $10. Why don't you buy these two, you know, pretty ladies next to you a
beer?
She's
got a whole line. You can go outside and bloody each other's noses and look pretty stupid, or you can just sit here and go to the bar and buy these ladies a nice round of drinks. And
exactly.
Like, ooh,
and then, so Lil likes the way that she handles that, so she says, you can have a second audition.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Wonderful.
So, but she needs to have her second audition. Oh, no. Before she has her second audition, she has to meet with her fashion coordinator, which is one of the other bartenders.
I'm going to send you with my fashion coordinator.
She's like, you be at this store at noon
dive
tomorrow
bar. Yeah.
Because you're going to meet up with my fashion coordinator. And I was like, fashion coordinator? Yeah. But
turns out to be the blonde one.
Yeah, it's just one of her coworkers.
The blonde one.
So she goes, she's calling her dad. She's checking on dad. Like, how's it going eating the lean cuisines?
Yeah.
What's going on with your socks? And he says that he's like, what's going on? How's your music going? And she remembers that she gave Australian Jerry Seinfeld O'Donnell her tape.
Yeah.
So she's like, fuck. So she finds her way back to the restaurant she was at. She asks him for her tape back. He has it on him at work.
In his apron.
In his
while
apron.
While he's behind the line
like,
working
she's
at the
like,
restaurant.
Give me my tape, please. And he's like, okay, here you go. And then that's it.
He wasn't even like, hold on, I gotta get it in my locker, yep. like my jacket pocket.
Yeah.
He just literally was like, it's in her hand.
Yep. And immediately. Then we do a fashion montage where we're just wearing all the, or, you know, 2000s fashions. That's basically what it was. It was like, let's do fashion week, but in our, so we're going to have, you know, shirts exposing our midriff. We're going to have pants that, you know, if you bend over, your ass crack is going to be out.
You definitely need a waxing to wear them.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. You're going to need to.
Hey, you know what's in this season? I'm going to see the top of your vagina. That's what's in this season.
That's what's okay. in. I love it.
Interesting.
Those pants were just.
You could see it was like.
When you felt that breeze on your butt crack, you were like, this is fashion, I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
So anyway, we're back at the bar. There's this man at the bar, and he's looking for the boss. And she's like, I'll let you. Violet goes like, I'll let her know that you're here. And he's like, yeah, cool. Can I have a water? And the other one that looks like Alanis Morissette said, she's like, well, you know that we don't serve water, so you know what to do. So Lil like gets the bullhorn out. And she's like, this dude just ordered water. She blasts him with water. And Lil gets super mad. And she's like, listen, that's the fire marshal.
Yeah, she blasts the fire marshal with the soda gun.
Yeah. So now I have to pay a fine of $250.
Yeah.
So you need to come up with $250 tonight.
Why do they have a soda gun? They don't serve anything from it. I don't get why it's there.
No, they do like soda. They'll do like Jack and Coke or something like that.
I thought
like,
she said only shots. I thought that's only if it's in shot form, she said.
Oh, I thought that they did like mixed drinks.
Oh, they said.
But I thought it was only like, I thought it was only like a shot and so like, or you could get like a whiskey with a Pepsi back or something like that.
I would fucking hope so.
You know
otherwise,
what?
These people are going to be, no one is going to be comfortable drinking in
no
this place.
One on the job trained us because little do they know, we are also employees at Coyote Ugly right now.
And we got no training
we
either.
We got zero training. So she needs to come up with $250. Australian Jerry Seinfeld comes in and Violet does a little, you know, Johnny on the spot thinking, and she tries to auction off
the Australian Jerry Seinfeld guy.
Who
isn't like, you wouldn't look at him and go, oh God, the women are going to be throwing themselves at him.
But they were.
Oh, they were fucking going
crazy.
They
were ravenous.
Oh.
They were like.
D. Sweet D.
Yeah, they were like $75. They were getting vicious.
Always Sunny. Sweet D went batshit.
He just went for it. He was like taking off his clothes.
He was rubbing his nipples at one point with his shirt off.
And
took his pants half down.
Undulating.
Oh yeah.
Like, sir.
It was.
You seem a little too comfortable doing this.
He was suggesting that you were purchasing more than just his company. We'll put it that way.
Indeed.
I would say that.
It was like Magic Mike. It was weird.
And then the one woman who won, does he have to bang that lady? That's what it seemed like.
Yeah, I don't know, because it kind of looked like, but it kind of looked
$250?
Like... But it looked like the Frasier,
Frasier
thing where you like, it's like a date with them.
But that was like a charity auction. This is a sleazy bar where
this
the guy's rubbing his nipples.
It was for to keep the
to keep Violet on staff.
Yeah, it was for to keep the bar open and to keep Violet in a job. But anyway, I was really proud of her for thinking on her feet with that. And also, it was really nice that Australian Jerry Seinfeld was like, you know what? I'm going to go along with this.
He's a gamer.
Yeah, he's a gamer. So that's good.
Aussie Jerry's a gamer.
So they get off work. She takes he takes her to this diner at like 3:30 in the morning. And, you know, he's like getting a Spider-Man comic book. And she thinks that he's like into drugs because he's got this weird paper bag that he's like exchanging money for a bag or like whatever.
Yeah, he's meeting someone in the street corner at 4 in the morning.
It's a Spider-Man comic book, which brings us to...
Jerry Seinfeld.
Possible DNA test here.
See?
Because Jerry Seinfeld loves Superman.
His favorite thing
is
Superman.
So I'm not saying that Australian Jerry Seinfeld O'Donnell knows that Jerry Seinfeld is
his dad.
It's
just in his genes.
It's just inherent.
That's right.
He just knows I should like a superhero.
And that's how he ended up in New York. He doesn't know why he was there. He was just drawn to it.
He was drawn.
He saw the show and there was something in his brain that said, I need to be there. So that's what it is. He thinks in his mind, Jerry Seinfeld's in New York. I got to go find him.
I'm going to find my daddy.
But he doesn't know that's what he's doing. He's like he's like a salmon that's swimming a certain way. It doesn't know why.
He doesn't know.
It's just, you know, nature, instinct.
So they're sitting They're sitting on the roof. No, not the roof. The front of the hood of the car.
The hood of the car, yeah.
Why I couldn't think of the word hood, I'm not sure why. Something is happening.
Okay. Oh, my God.
So they're sitting on the hood of the car just after eating breakfast. Nobody's out ever in this city. Like at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's nobody out. Like,
nobody.
There's nobody.
Clear
there's
streets.
Nobody. And he's like, you can't ever find parking in New York. I'm like, yeah.
He's the only car on
here.
The street. Yeah. Literally, he's got a boot. He's got a boot on his car. Like, you know, they slap on your car if you're illegally parked. And so he's like got his own that he leans up against the wheel. So it looks like they've already booted his car.
Yeah, it looks like they've already booted his car because he's a scammer.
Oh, he's got all these little ins.
Yeah.
This guy, he knows what he's doing.
So she is kind of opening up to Australian Jerry Seinfeld here. And she's like, you know, my mom used to write and sing songs and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's what I want to do. And she says this stupid fucking thing. She says, all I've ever wanted was to sit in the dark and listen to someone great singing my songs. And you're supposed to be like, no. But also like, really?
Yeah.
Is that an oh moment?
Want, really?
Like, that's not like, you know.
Is that oh? Are we supposed to all be just, oh.
So she talks about that she's got stage fright and her mom had stage fright. So it's learned behavior.
It runs in the family.
You know, runs in the family. And they
cancer
have this
and
whole,
stage fright. Both of them. Diabetes and
they
this.
Have this whole banter back and forth where they're like flirting with each other. And then they go and they work at the fish market in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he's got four jobs.
Yeah, because he's got. Like Tuesday through Saturday, this is what I do.
I think it's
to
support his comic book habit.
Yeah.
He's always buying expensive comic books.
He likes cars.
His car is like a restored like 68 Lincoln. Like it's not, it's an expensive car. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know how he can afford this. I don't know how he can afford like really expensive comic books that are like, you know, first edition this, you know, first appearance, you know, issue 12 of Spider-Man or whatever.
He should get a show called Line Cooks in Cars.
Line Cooks.
With comic books.
Line
Cooks in Cars with comic books.
I like it. He's going to do
just
that.
Just consider
maybe
it.
Maybe not cars. Line Cooks
Australian
on the subway.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Line Cooks on the subway with comic books.
Yeah, exactly. So they do the fish market. They get paid. And then we go back to another bar dance montage back at Coyote Ugly. But this time the cops are here.
Oh,
the cops are here because they are violating the fire code. There's too many people there.
Which
so
the cops enforce the fire code.
Yeah.
That's what the fire marshal does.
But
and on top of that, these cops are much like the rest of the movie. These cops are from the 1950s.
Yeah, they're like, what's going on here? They got like the hats on and everything.
They
like
might
that.
As well be like have Irish accents and be twirling a billy club. It's ridiculous. They come in like, hey, what's happening in here? There, hey, lassies, come on, lads and lassies, let's go. Step aside now.
Yeah,
you know it's the fire code. It's not my fault. And he's just fucking ridiculous.
Put down your pint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put down the Guinness.
So, like the cops are there, and like you know, it just and Lil needs to go away to talk to them. I'm not sure why. I don't know if she's trying to sweet talk them. Like, please don't shut us down. I think she's, you know, promising them probably free booze or something like that. And it's just getting out of hand at the bar now.
There's a riot.
There's a riot happening. People are climbing over the bar. They're grabbing the ladies and they're touching them and they're, you know, whatever.
The blonde one is trapped in a circle of sailors that are like literally grabbing her and sexually doing things to where she's like, please help me. And they're just like grabbing her and shit. It's fucking horrible. It turns into the accused out of nowhere.
Yeah, so Violet grabs a bucket of ice and she just kind of dumps it on the crowd to try to like defuse the situation, which nobody does anything. And so then she just decides that since there's this one song playing on the jukebox, that she's going to sing along to
it. What the fuck?
She sings along to One Way or Another.
It's not even like a crazy song. It's just...
But I guess everybody knows it. But anyway, so she starts singing and then people start like paying attention to her because she's singing. And they're like, oh, and then it breaks up the fight. Everybody gets to go back to normal. And then everybody thinks that she's a hero.
Guys that were holding each other by the shirt, punching each
they're
other.
Like, is that Blondie?
Stopped, turned, still holding each other by the shirts, watched in awe, and then let go of each other to cheer her on next to each other.
And then they're all singing. They're like, one way or another.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
the song was already on the jukebox and no one cared. So why would her singing along to it make it now
but
special?
I understand everybody's stopping and looking at Christina Aguilera singing, because who would have thought that
It's different.
You guys, we got Christina Aguilera in the studio. Hello. Don't say we don't do anything nice for you.
This chick's like mild karaoke, you know, like a decent karaoke singer, along with someone who's, it's not just the instrumental. She's singing along to an already their vocal track.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Blondie is awesome, and I love Blondie, and it's just like, it's not like everybody knows that song, but I don't know why that one stops everybody. Like, people know it, but you can
still
be... In their
tracks.
Yeah. She's singing.
Whoa, is that an angel? Hold on, Bob. Stop punching me. Is that an angel? We can agree on that. We can all agree that there's an angel singing in the bar.
It's pretty dumb that we've been fighting this whole time. Let's stop now because she's singing.
Bar went back to normal. People who had breached the bar and like had bottles of booze in their hand, like put them back, went back to what they were doing, paying for drinks again. I'm like, what is happening?
She nudges some guy off of the bar who's got two bottles in his hand, and she just kind of taps on him and is like, you know, looking at him to get, and he still has the bottles in his hand. And he's just like, oh, cool, yeah. And he gets off the bar. But I'm like, get the bottles.
Get the bottles back. Yeah, that's the point of this. So
it's fine. Anyway.
Jesus Christ. Painful.
Yeah. So the stage fright is non-existent now because she's, I don't know if this is like an experience of like karaoke, so she doesn't really care, but she has a newfound confidence. Everybody stops fighting. Even the cops leave. They're like, all right, well, as long as we're going to be singing some Blondie and, you know, having a good, wholesome time here, then we're going to leave.
Everybody, we should take off.
Yeah, we should take off. Seems to be everything's under control now because
things seem fine here.
We're singing Blondie here. And the gals are going over all the events of the evening, and Lil's like, well, she saved your ass. And the Alanis Morissette's like, well, okay, she sang along to a jukebox. Let's not start polishing her
a
granny.
I said, yeah!
But that's a very valid, like, I mean, yes, she did distract people, but, you know, I don't even know why she distracted anybody.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be distracted by anybody singing.
Like, why is this broad singing now?
Yeah, what's happening?
What's going on now?
I would have thought that all hell broke loose if everyone's fighting and then somebody, I was like, great, now somebody found a microphone. Like, I'd be like, God
damn it.
Like,
you think it was
like,
some crazy drunk karaoke person.
Let's get out of
here. Oh, wonderful. Yeah. How can this get worse? Oh, good karaoke. Bye. That's how it can get worse.
So Lil says, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the singing coyote from New Jersey.
And that means
that she is officially a coyote. Mazel tov. Great.
Salute.
Yeah. So
Jersey.
She goes over to Australian Jerry Seinfeld's house and, you know, after her shift at work to kind of get a good night kiss because she's having such a wonderful evening. And she goes up on the rooftop with her Casio keyboard and she hears somebody listening to very loud music in a building across the street and he's dancing.
Her man is framed.
He's like a professional fucking
breakdancer, obviously.
Like, he's dancing really well. The music is very loud. So either she needs to adopt some of his, you know, careless attitude because he's like, I don't give a fuck. If anybody is knocking on my wall, I can't be bothered right now because I'm dancing. So either she needs to kind of adopt that personality. But instead, she decides to invent Leanne Rimes' entire song styles. So that's what she's doing. She's up on the rooftop now. That guy's listening to some cool beats and hip hop and whatever. And she's like, I'm going to implement that in my music. That's what I'm going to do.
That's what I need, a little pop. Because before this, it's kind of like folkish.
Yeah.
Like your stuff
is
like...
It's a little bit more like Jewel.
She thinks she's like Joan Baez or something, and then she turns into like...
I would say it's more like Jewel.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like old school, super like, I could picture like hippie-ish, you know
what
I mean?
And now we need to make it a little bit more Leanne Rimes.
Yeah.
So Australian Jerry Seinfeld is trying to help out Violet with her stage fright, so he brings her back to his apartment, which looks... odd and abandoned, and like
it looks condemned.
It's like a house that he.
If any of you have ever watched Taxi, it looks like Reverend Jim's apartment in Taxi in the condemned building. That's where he has the horse that dies. It's exactly where it fucking
looks
like.
It looks like nobody should know that I live here.
Yeah. Like it's an abandoned building and I just went in and set up, like you said. You said it's like Bubbles in the Wire.
Yeah.
When he's got like his little apartment where Sherrod dies.
He hopes that nobody finds his little hidden house.
There's a cord where he gets his electricity that comes out of his window. You just know it in this place.
And he's just got like random shit in his apartment. He has like one weird metal chair, and he's got all these cardboard cutouts.
He
and,
didn't
like,
decorate that place.
He didn't decorate it, but it was decorated with like garbage.
He's got racks like from a store where his comic books
all
are on, too.
All his comic books are so still in the plastic.
So strange.
It was very odd. But anyway, so he asks her what the stage fright feels like, because he's got all these cardboard cutouts. So he's saying, like, you know, we'll get you to practice singing in front of an audience this way. So she's, you know, he's like, what is
he also
stage?
Has a keyboard set up.
Yeah. Well, he borrowed it from somebody.
Yeah. He sets it all up for her. Yeah.
So
he goes all out.
He's like, what does stage fright even feel like? So what she ends up doing is she starts trivializing stage fright and this like mental like paralysis and fear.
Yeah.
And she sexualizes it. And she's like, well, the only way that I can get you to understand it is to make you nervous. And so she starts like stripping amongst all the cardboard cutouts. And I was just like, this doesn't, like, stage fright is real. Like, people get like, that's, you know, whatever. And instead she's like, well, it feels about the same as you do when you might get to bang me.
You mean jacked? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
He seemed real excited about it.
And he was like, I was just like, well, at least he gets to, you know, do what he wants to do. You don't get to sing. So you're having stage fright. And I was a little upset with Violet for
It was a weird seduction.
She was like trivializing it, and it made me really upset.
And it looked like his apartment looks like it's like a filthy basement, and I'm like, she's taking her clothes off in here, gross, like who's banging in here?
Oh, and also, how does she not tell him, like, oh yeah, stage fright, no sweat, I can absolutely sing to these cardboard cutouts of Patrick Swayze, etc.
Marilyn Monroe.
Because I just sang to a bar of filthy drunks.
But that was along to a record, so it's different, she said.
But she still sung.
She still sang into a fucking microphone. There is no goddamn difference.
I just don't understand why she never told him that, like, oh, you know what? I actually did kind of sing in front of
people
tonight.
Sort of overcame it.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool. And she loved it. That was the other thing. She felt great. She's like, I'm going to have to do that every night. And it's like, okay, then you don't have stage fright.
You have no stage fright anymore.
On a bar with a microphone singing. That's a stage.
Yeah.
You overcame it. Movie's over. Okay, good job.
Well, no, not even movie's over.
Here's your check,
over.
John Goodman.
It's not even movie's over.
I wish it was.
It's conflict over. Like,
conflict,
You've defeated your...
Overcame it.
Yeah, you've done it.
One step, now it's to actually make it.
But sex with Australian Jerry Seinfeld has made Violet feel compelled to write music at his apartment. So she's like, she's waking up, she's sitting in her sheets, and she's like, you know.
He's got an inspirational penis, is what it is.
Yeah, it's very inspirational, apparently. So she finally gets up some gonads to sing to him, and she already has recorded like the hip hoppy type thing that she's going to be, the hip hoppy element that she's going to be adding into the song.
Yeah, because she bought an Apple, like an old Apple computer too.
Yeah,
from back
she
then.
Bought the that laptop was awesome.
It
but
was
she's
old
like,
school. Yeah,
she's like playing it on the guitar, and then she pushes the button, you know, at the exact right time, and all of this stuff, and it's just
she's
like
laughing.
This is a great song, and it's just so good. She's like laughing.
What the hell she's laughing about then, while she's doing that? I edit things all the time. I'm never like, I cut it right there. It's perfect timing.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I'm literally never like looking at like, you know, merch that I've designed and like laughing while I'm doing it.
I'm editing comedy for Christ's sake, and I'm still not laughing like that. It's just,
you're looking
she's
at
like,
it with contempt though.
Yeah, that's right. Like everything else in my life.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. No shit.
So now she
tell
has,
me about it.
Speaking of laughing at weird moments, now she has a whole montage of getting good at being a bartender. She's like spinning the bottles and she's breaking a lot of bottles.
Oh yeah, it's her cocktail training montage when Tom Cruise does
it. Like laughing, and
she's doing it with she's learning with full bottles. She's spinning them, booze is spitting out everywhere. She's dropping them on the ground. I'm like
every single time
bottles.
Every single time that she drops them, she's laughing her ass off. Like, can you believe I just did that? And it's like, no, I can't. That bottle cost me like $30.
Yeah,
like,
asshole.
Yeah,
in cocktail, they made Tom Cruise do it with empty bottles. That was the point, to practice with empty bottles after a shift. He was like swirling the shit all around.
So now we're back to dancing on the bar. The girls are dumping water all over themselves, and they're dancing, and Tyra Banks is there. She's visiting her alma mater, and you know, John Goodman walks in, and he sees his daughter just being, you know, drenched in water and naughty dancing on the bar, and he's all upset, and he's like, all the guys are putting this picture up, and the picture is just her like celebrating that she she's singing.
She's wearing like jeans and a shirt.
She has like a really, really long skirt on.
Okay. It's nothing scandalous or like the guys would be jerking off to or hanging on the wall.
It's like a crop top, but it's not even like a bad crop top. She looks fine.
She's like, all the guys are hanging on the wall in their booth. Like, why?
Yeah. And also like
a picture of a girl.
I got featured in the newspaper for singing a song. Like,
it was the Village Voice. Yeah. New Jersey Turnpike fucking toll booth operators don't read the Village Voice.
No, they don't.
Ever.
But
that's never happened.
They do.
Not once.
This one.
right away.
Australian Jerry Seinfeld gets Violet a gig.
Yes.
At this place.
In front of like a manager.
Yeah, in front of
person.
Like a, you know, it's in front of music people.
Important person A. Yeah. It doesn't matter who the fuck they are.
And she's telling her boss that she's like, listen, I got to get out of here at 10:30 because I got that thing.
Going.
But it's way too busy at the bar.
Yeah, she said, I told you a week ago. And the boss is like, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. We're way too busy.
Sorry.
There's a line out down the block. We have to stay here. So sorry. Like,
tough,
you know,
shit,
whatever.
Jersey.
So she misses the gig at the Elbow Room. And I was actually sad because he said that he was owed a favor from somebody, but he still had to cough up his
Spider-Man. He was lying. He wasn't actually owed a favor. He just basically paid off a guy in his best comic book.
And she didn't even, like, let him know. That she's like, I'm sorry, like my boss won't let me leave. And he's like, well, you can just leave.
Yeah, you should just go. This is more important. And she's like, no.
Well, I mean, it's making pretty decent money and she gets to sing
Moved to New York for a reason.
Yeah.
And this was the reason,
but
not to be a fancy bartender.
I understand. If she was just a bartender and she wasn't singing there on a pretty regular basis.
She's not really singing, though.
I would understand that she, you know, stayed. Yeah. But Lil frames it like... you get to sing here. They love you here. So I don't know what you're like that. Like, she kind
it turns
of
into Rhinestone at that
her.
Point.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you should just sing here. Like, why? Why would I do that? I should make albums and make money is how this should work.
But I think that she knows that she's afraid, you know, with her, with her stage fright and everything like that. Yeah. So she's just it gave her an excuse.
I think she was trying to go back
to comfortable things.
Yeah. I think the character was happy when she was told she wasn't allowed to leave.
Yes. I think that
secretly.
That helped soothe her anxiety because she didn't want to do it anyway. And then this way she could hide behind the fact that my boss said I can't go. I wanted to go. Yep.
But...
So Violet couldn't leave work. That's fine. And Australian Jerry Seinfeld goes to the bar to go see her.
What's the deal with you not showing up?
Yeah.
What's the deal with you not showing up?
Oi, what's the deal with bosses?
What's the deal with koalas? Oh, sorry. That's another. Hold on. That's a piece of paper in my pocket.
So some guy.
It's a bit I'm working on.
Is being a little handsy. Dancing on Violet, and it's making Australian Jerry Seinfeld a little upset. So
and he's not fingering her or anything.
He's just drunk and not listening to her.
And he's a regular, and she's like, okay, Bob, come on.
Yeah.
And he's like got his hands on her hips while they're dancing.
Yeah.
Which is don't touch fucking women who don't want to be touched.
Don't touch women at all, but
he acts like this guy just put his, up to the knuckle into her butthole. Total fucking overreaction.
She's saying all right, let's, she's trying to give him an out here.
She
like,
could do that, but he shouldn't overreact like that. If she wants to do whatever she needs to do to get hands off her, great.
But I can understand Australian Jerry Seinfeld's thing where he's like, because she clearly looks uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so
she's also smiling.
Well, she's like smiling okay.
No, no, you go over to get the fuck off. You don't immediately turn it physical at your girlfriend's job is what I'm getting at. That's a bad boyfriend
move.
Well,
he was also upset because he had to give up his comic book. But
for her to get felt up by some scumbag and businessman. Yeah.
He starts a fight with this dude on the bar, and then they're just, it just turns into this whole brawl. And Lil gets really mad at Violet, and she's like, I told you not to bring your boyfriends here. And I didn't understand why Violet didn't say, I didn't tell him to come.
He just showed up.
And also,
it's not a private club. People can just walk on.
Yeah, and not for nothing, but you didn't mind him being here when he made you $250.
Yeah, she even bid on him.
Yeah.
She bid 200.
Yeah.
That was so it's like you were 1,000% on board with that shit.
You didn't mind him being here and helping out before, but now all of a sudden, but whatever. I guess if you're trying to have somebody defend your honor, you really kind of are responsible for that.
They needed something to pull them apart other than just, him being upset at her.
yeah.
over the not showing up.
John Goodman's not speaking to Violet.
Oh, no,
he's
she's
not
leaving.
Speaking to his daughter because she's leaving voicemails. She's calling him. She's
well,
doing all
answering
this stuff.
Machine messages back.
Yeah.
Then.
Oh, yeah. Answering machines. What's the deal with answering machines?
What's the deal with answering? I leave messages. I say, pick up if
but
you're
there. But nobody's answering.
Hey, you don't pick up.
Nobody's answering. Okay. So, anyway, John Goodman is. Violet goes to her friend's wedding, and she's kind of forced to reconnect with her father there.
Jersey Progressive Flo's wedding.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she is kind of forced to reconnect with her father there, and I just didn't understand why her father was like, I was ashamed that you were my daughter and like not supporting. Like
she was fully clothed.
She's fully clothed.
She wasn't even wearing a white shirt when they were soaking her with water. She was wearing like a dark red shirt.
She had a bra on. And I was just like, I mean, is it the greatest to watch your daughter do that and like whatever? But if she says it's, like, hey, dad, I get to sing, and it kind of gives me a little bit of confidence.
I wouldn't want to watch it, but I wouldn't be ashamed of you for it. It's like, well, I don't want to watch that's I don't want to watch guys be all weird with you, but good for you. Not like good luck. I don't know.
It was just like it was one of those things where she was a bartender, which that's a hard profession. I was a bartender, and it really does take a certain type of person, which is not me, because you have to like to talk to people, and I did not.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of, you know. You got to take some lumps, and you got to, you know, it's just
got to be willing to eat a bunch of shit.
Yeah, it's a difficult
it's a service industry job, so it's just like being a waiter.
Thing. Yeah, because you got to kind of be a therapist, and you know,
you got to hear people's bitching and complaining, and then bitching about what you're doing. It sucks. Yeah.
But anyway, so she goes to the wedding, but she comes back to New York City to a voicemail from an answering machine message
where she's trying to get the door open.
Yeah, Australian Jerry Seinfeld.
She hears
and
it
he's
playing.
You know, saying like, "Hey, I hope that you're there because I'm trying to."
I hope that you're.
What's the deal with answering machines?
I hope you weren't taken by a roo.
Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah.
I hope a dingo didn't eat you, baby.
She's like, he's saying the typical back in the day. It was a nice flashback to pick up if you're there. I mean, I don't know if you can hear me or if you're just ignoring me. Or this talking to a potentially empty room.
That's what we all did.
Yeah.
We would like be like, I don't know. Like
maybe give it for, hello?
Because you have to do like a good 30 seconds of like,
all right.
I don't know if you're just not able to get to the phone
You're calculating how long it would take for them to get from the farthest point in their house to this particular phone, too. You're like, well, if he's in the back room, he'd be there by now. Okay, I'll let you go. Call me back.
Maybe they're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
They could be outside.
Are you
shitting? Not be home.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? Like, you don't have to answer. It's okay.
It's fine.
But anyway, so the next call that she gets, because she missed his answering machine message, is from a hospital, and they're like, your father has been in a car accident. So she goes there.
Her friend misses her wedding night to hang out with her.
Her friend misses the wedding night, and she's like, I wrote this line down because it made me so mad.
Yeah.
And it made me do, I've been punctuating cheesy moments with.
Should I be Hydrox Hillary and you be the.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like it makes, this moment made me, I've been punctuating moments, like cheesy moments with a fart noise. And so whatever. But anyway, so
we're going to do making fart noises.
We're
going to
do a little rom-com, rom-com mystery theater or whatever.
You didn't have to come be here with me. It's your wedding night.
Danny's been in my family for 5 minutes. You've been in my family forever.
Hug, hug, hug. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Follow it with
you
a fart
guys.
Noise. That's a big bow from us. Thank you. Oh, boy. I know.
I think that will be our reel. That's
I think
time
so.
That we want to audition to be in a movie.
If I'm going to ever do like any voice acting audition, I think that's where
I'm
going to start.
That was it, guys. If you want to, apply us for anything, that's what we got.
Perfect.
So she gets back to, now it's like a bunch of back and forth for her. She's constantly traveling because her dad was in a car accident and he's got, he was in surgery.
He's on
got like a broken leg. He's
comically
on
crutches. Like, he walks, he sticks his leg just like out in the air for some reason. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a person walk on crutches?
Yeah.
You're 50 years old.
Yeah, you've definitely walked on crutches before, my
doing?
Man. So she gets back to New York City. All of her tapes that she got sent back, because she sent out a bunch of tapes to a bunch of, record companies and managers and agents and da 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 da. And they all got sent back, so she's upset, dumps it into the lobby of her apartment building. She goes to call Australian Jerry Seinfeld, and instead, you know, she's like, because they're not speaking to each other right now. Mm-hmm. And instead, she goes to go find him at his apartment. Well, but
she gets fired over him. That's why. I mean,
Christ, yeah, she lost her job over it. But anyway, so she... she goes to go to his apartment to go talk to him, but some other broad's walking in the apartment, and she's like, "Are you sure you want to do this now?" And it's like implied that they're, yeah. you know, like this.
He
is
opens
another...
the door and he goes, "I told you my place was a palace."
Yeah,
and she's like,
pfft. "Yeah," but you know, so she sees that, and it's just like, "Oh, he's already moved on from me." So has no reason to stay there really, because she's like, "Well, I don't have my job. My dad needs my help. My boyfriend doesn't even like me.
I can't get on stage.
I can't get on stage anywhere.
Even though I do.
So I'm just going to not do any of those things. And I guess this life just isn't for me. So I'm gonna move back home.
GoBot Swank back to Jersey. Yep. Back down the turnpike with you.
And I love that John Goodman here. So she's, you know, talking to her dad about it. And he's like, "No, you can't go work for Pete." And so you're like, "Oh, Pete is the pizza guy plays, you know, whatever."
Yeah,
and then I started laughing because his name is Pete.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah, absolutely. Pete's Pizza.
Pizza. And then also, the pizza place, this is when it hit me. The pizza place is like watered down version of Coyote Ugly.
It is. It's Pizza Place Ugly. It's exactly what it is.
She's talking to...
without the dancing.
She's not putting any hot marinara sauce on herself, but like it's just like it's the same thing.
I want to see her flinging around a calzone while she dances to something. That's what I want. Pour some mozzarella on me.
Pour some pepperoni.
I want some shredded mozzarella just being sprinkled all over her as she's dancing. That's a restaurant right there. People be like, "Why am I here? Is this..." You're not going to reuse that cheese now, are you?
After
you
sprinkle it on your
zuh. You're just going to sweep that up, right?
So she's traveling back and forth between her dad's house and her apartment, and because he doesn't want her to work at Pete's place anymore.
No.
He's like,
he wants her to follow her dream, not unlike her mother, Sally Field, who died tragically after being a successful stand-up comedian after she gave up on songwriting. It's very sad.
She had stage fright. But anyway, so she is working at this like kind of quiet restaurant now. We see that she's burning CDs now as opposed to cassette tapes.
Yeah,
she's
moved
like
on.
Laughing at herself when she's burning CDs.
That's the one, yeah.
But don't you remember burning CDs?
Yeah, but I never hit burn and went, ha 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 ha. What the fuck is she doing?
She's like
the same
laughing
thing when she's editing. She's like you'd look at her and go, "Oh, that's a mentally disturbed person."
Or she's like,
she's doing like Ray Liotta Goodfellas level laughing, like at nothing, at the fact that she sped something up fucking 2%. She's like,
yeah, because she does like. She does.
So strange.
She's editing that song, like, "But I Do Love You" by Leanne Rimes, and like she makes it sound like a chipmunk, and she's laughing so hard.
Yeah, like, "Oh my
and
god,
like,
I changed the pitch." Like,
it's not
that's
really
an easy one.
It's not.
No.
But anyway, so she, I would have loved to have heard it slowed down.
Yeah.
I don't like to
make her
sound
all drunk.
Sky painted gray.
Now, everyone out there, rewind that and play that at half speed. Play Sarah, play drunk half speed Sarah at half speed and see what it comes out like. I am curious as shit.
Why don't
go
you
ahead.
Do it.
Or speed it up to double speed and see if it sounds great.
I don't like you.
It'll sound normal because you slowed it down.
Yeah.
So who knows?
All I'm saying is that's what you're going to do now. Anyway, so Lil comes to go visit her at her new quiet job that she works at. And
it's like
she's,
a classy like hotel bar.
Yeah, it's like a hotel bar where you have to wear a button down and you have suspenders.
Yeah. One of those places where they sell like they have like a dozen oyster special.
And it's always like really slow there. And the only people that like, you know, there's like people that are kind of regulars that go there. Anyway, as I digress.
In other words, the places I eat on the road because they're wonderful and quiet.
So she is... Lil's letting her know that, like, you can have your job back whenever you want. I understand that you weren't responsible for that whole situation. And she's like, "Nah, it's cool. Like, I need to focus on my music." Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, "Love you, mean it, bye. You know, thanks a lot." And it made me want to go to a hotel restaurant, and that's fine. It's fine. And she says to Lil, like, "How did you find me?" And I was like, yeah, how did you find her? Because there's no Facebook to tell you that she changed jobs.
The one bartender.
And she says, "Cammy told me." And who was Cammy?
No, one of the other girls must have been Cammy, but they, like I said, they didn't mention names very often. I have no idea who the fuck is who.
It's fine.
Here's 14 characters. We're not going to tell you their names. Enjoy. Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Violet is kind of at peace with everything. So since she's been focusing on herself and her career and her music and everything like that, everything's kind of falling into place. So if you feel like you are banging your head against a wall wherever you are, and you're just like trying to please other people, the moment that you start focusing on yourself, everything will fall into place.
All fall into place.
So she gets an answering machine message from somebody from the Bowery Ballroom, and they're calling Violet and asking her to perform at the venue.
They loved her CD.
Please, loved that tape, girl.
Come drop off the music so our house band can learn your song.
It was weird that you did the chipmunk voice in it, but it's fine.
10 p.m. sharp on Thursday.
Get there so we can learn your music, and you know that's what's going to be. So she's excited. Coyote Ugly is shutting down for the evening.
First time ever.
First time
ever.
So
the whole staff can go support her.
So they can go see the girl that worked there for like 3 months performing at the
Who
Bowery
was barely
Ballroom.
There and
it's
got
okay.
fired.
Did they go visit Tyra Banks at law school? No. Yeah.
Woo, Tyra.
Yeah.
Get that tort.
Yeah.
Tort.
Object.
Tort.
Object. Object.
What the fuck?
Leading the witness.
Strange.
But anyway, so they're shutting down for the evening. Australian Jerry Seinfeld, he's actually selling his apartment or subletting the apartment to that couple.
He's moving to Chicago.
He's going to move to Chicago because what's the deal with...
I can't find Jerry in New York. I'll go to the next city. He might be there.
But he doesn't know that Jerry Seinfeld
is in his brain. That's his brain. It's like the salmon to go upstream.
So somehow Lil calls him. It's his last phone call in his apartment.
Yeah, he's like, out the door.
When's your boyfriend moving in? Okay, great. Talk to you later. Thanks for doing this.
To
ring, ring. And then he's like, oh, hello.
They have to show you, he wasn't banging that girl.
Lil
she was
said,
a
yeah, because we were like, oh.
Yeah. Australian Jerry is banging this chick and he's not.
He was wonderful all along.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're not sure how or why Lil knows his number, but she says, do yourself a favor and look at like page 31 in the Village Voice or whatever the fuck it is. And he sees that one time only.
She's
this is
playing.
Violet's going to be at the Bowery Ballroom.
Oh boy.
So they're on their way. What's his face? John Goodman, the friend, and Violet are on their way to the Bowery Ballroom from New Jersey.
Driving up.
For some reason, Violet is driving, and she's the one. I understand.
It's her dad's car.
Broke his leg, and it's her dad's car. Yeah. I understand that.
She's probably still on the
insurance. But you're not going to give the one with anxiety and stage fright the fucking wheel. You're not going to give her the wheel because she's going to turn around and she's going to be like, no, I can't do it. Never mind.
What
like,
I don't
whatever.
Understand is why was her friend sitting shotgun in between her and her dad on a bench seat? John Goodman
can't sit in the bench seat.
No, he was in the passenger side and then her friend was in the middle and she was driving.
Yeah.
It's like, why would her friend cram into the front? Her friend should be in the back seat.
There was no back seat.
It was like a Chevy Celebrity. It absolutely had a back seat.
Oh, I thought that was the only reason I didn't look at it because she was making two very unsafe U-turns.
Oh, God, cutting across traffic. She doesn't care.
He had his toll booth workers do a 1-2-3 twice.
Never heard of that before.
Which that should, it's basically they ring the bells and they flash the
lights. It's like a flyby
and,
in Top Gun.
And it was just weird because, like... That's confidence enough. If the toll booth, if the toll booth operators are like, all right, let's give her a 1-2-3 and a that a girl, Violet, way to,
ready go. To go,
sing your heart out. I just feel like I would be able to take on the world at that point.
Well, I mean, if the toll booth operators of New Jersey are behind you.
Yeah. Well, not even just the
not
one.
A lot else to conquer.
The one
at that
was
point.
Good, but the second was a reassurance.
That's what I mean. You don't have much more to conquer at that point.
She has some stage fright when she gets up there. They play
Can't
a couple
it.
Of bars of the song because basically they're like, if she doesn't get here in 5 fucking minutes, she's bumped, and this is the worst.
Oh yeah.
And she kind of gets there last minute. Terrible parking job. Terrible driving. Unsafe.
She drives like Sylvester Stallone and Rhinestone.
And Mr. Magoo.
That's how she... who drives like Mr. Magoo?
So she gets up on stage, has a little bit of stage fright, and Australian Jerry Seinfeld turns the lights off. He grabs this fucking like lever.
It's like a horror movie, the shot.
And he is like, he grabs his lever and just turns off all the power because that's what he did in the apartment. He turned off all the lights.
And so she could sing in the dark.
Yeah.
But isn't it like that shot is a really creepy, like
it's
horror
really
movie
creepy.
Shot. If they don't show him, they just show an arm coming into frame, slowly grabbing this lever and then turning the lights off. Like that's what a murderer would do in a fucking movie like this.
That's an alternate ending.
There
okay.
we go. She's so, killed on stage.
So it's all light. It's all dark. I mean, not light. And for some reason, this only turned the lights off.
I guess the sound system
the microphone
works fine.
Still works great. The electric guitar still works
no
great.
Problem.
And then also, he's just able to flip the switch back up and everything's just perfect.
Oh, how they have the whole
the light.
System.
They wouldn't have to like reset all of the lights. Nope. They'd have to do everything. But nope, it's good because now this has the whole lighting kit thing is still going.
It's ready to go.
And it's still good. So she is, not only does she not have stage fright anymore, she's dancing. She's got personality
she's
with it. She's can't fight the moonlight.
Dancing while one of the guys
the
is playing a good guitar,
surrender like, your heart because you know
I can't
you
believe
know
you know the words to this song
can't fight the moonlight. How, what do you mean
I couldn't decipher a word?
Okay, first of all,
you could
James
play
always
that song.
Makes fun of me because I know every song.
Yeah,
and
but
then
that song, you could play that song every day for the next 30 years and then you'd play it the next day and I'd go, what's that song? Because it's so
but
generic.
I
it doesn't
am
matter
I'm a millennial woman and
the
I know
that,
that song.
It's a terrible song.
Well, you're not a millennial woman, and if you were a millennial woman, then you'd know that song.
You've just watched a lot of TBS.
No.
I feel like.
Okay, 3 months later, it says 3 months later on there, Violet and John Goodman and Violet's friend and John Goodman's new girlfriend, the nurse, and...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And Australian Jerry Seinfeld, they're all at Coyote Ugly. It's their new haunt. It's, you know, Violet's alma mater now, so she's there. And... she makes good on the Spider-Man comic book that she cost Australian Jerry Shepard? Nope. Jerry Seinfeld. And, you know, all of a sudden, like, they put, like, the CD of Leanne Rimes in. Like, so they don't have the jukebox anymore. They have this big, like, CD player.
Yeah.
And, which was kind of cool because that is kind of how technology went. We just went from no more fucking cassette tapes. We're doing CDs now. Like, it's fucking CDs.
So then just
no
digital.
Boxes. We have a boombox now. Like we have a CD player,
an iPhone. We just hooked it up to
something. And then it's just you just everything's just kind of been like, nope, we don't do that anymore. And like we're doing this now. But anyway, so Leanne Rimes inexplicably comes up and she's
singing.
Dancing on the bar. They're like, ladies and gentlemen, we got Leanne Rimes.
And
Leanne Rimes is singing Can't Fight the Moonlight because
what the fuck?
We are to assume that in 3 months' time, she was able to sell the Can't Fight the Moonlight song to Leanne Rimes.
Yeah.
And they're duetting on the bar. And
you know,
then
pop stars love to share the spotlight. That's nothing more than they love than that.
Especially with their songwriters.
Yeah, some stranger.
And now we're auctioning off John Goodman.
Yeah.
Even though he's there with his girlfriend, but we get to watch John Goodman, who, if this is still 3 months after he was in crutches, he would not be able to get up on that bar very easily. He would not be able to dance very easily.
He needs to take physical therapy.
Yeah, he was jumping and like, you know, whatever.
It was crazy.
And also, like, it's on top of a bar. It's not that thick of like a stage or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you're still very aware of like, I could fall off the bar.
Slippery liquor and everything. He was dancing, grooving.
He's just dancing, grooving. Had a horrific car accident, doesn't seem to affect his bar dancing skills.
No.
But now the whole family is dancing on the bar. Everything is right with the world.
It's all good.
And the movie is over.
Thank the Lord. That I'm not even religious, but thank the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Maybe there is a God
this
because
movie.
This movie ended. That's all I can say here.
Nope. We wanted to watch it forever. Okay.
Jesus Christ. There's only one thing to do.
There's only one thing to do, and there that's is. Go to the Heigl-meter.
To the Heigl-meter!
The Heigl-meter is our unit of measurement. How we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls. 5 Heigls being the worst movie you've ever seen, most punishing, awful. 1 Heigl, not that bad.
Not that bad.
I think that I went first last week, so this week, James.
Would you like me to go first?
I want you to go first.
Okay, I have a formula here.
Okay, another formula.
Okay. There's
By
a
the
lot.
Way, we don't always follow our
no,
rules.
No, I have my own math that I'm doing here.
Okay.
So, okay, it was painful. So hear me out, and then there's an end to this, okay? I give it 5 Heigels for story.
Right.
Just for the bullshit recycled story, okay? Yeah. That's garbage.
Okay, that's fair.
5 Heigels for the misuse of John Goodman. He's not funny at all in this movie.
But.
And they could, like, this movie needed a little comic relief, and they have John Goodman, and they're like, nah, let's make him sad.
I'm gonna see where your formula is going, because I do have a rebuttal to that, but okay, go ahead.
Fuck that, no. And then 5 for the bullshit theme that you can just, you know, write a pop song and all that shit. So, it's not enough, though, to add them to be 15, so I'm going 5 to the third power, which is 125 Heigels.
Okay, and 5 cubed.
It's 5 cubed. We're doing 125 Heigels, 5 cubed, 125 for me.
Great.
And you, what do you have for
me? Okay, so I'm gonna ask you a question about your formula, because knowing now that you didn't know this before you created the Heigel system, knowing now that John Goodman only did this movie for a paycheck, does that influence your formula at all?
No, because what the fuck does he need a paycheck for? John Goodman was on Roseanne, which was syndicated. He's getting paid a shitload off of that. Okay. He's in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, and he's in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
If John Goodman was hurting in 2000, 2001, he was fucking up his money, and he deserved to do this fucking movie.
Okay.
Put it that way.
We need to speak with John Goodman and see what the issue is.
What was
for money, or were you just like
one of his kids going to Harvard or something?
But what if it was just like a ridiculous amount of money?
That might be the other thing.
Down.
Might just be like they might have said,
they offered me so much money, so what am I supposed to do?
We'll give you $4 million for 6 days of shooting. Yeah. And he probably went, well, I guess, Jesus Christ, what the fuck, I guess, maybe. That's possible. Either way, this is just embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's just embarrassing. And I don't blame him. I'm blaming them for getting John Goodman and then going, let's not do anything with him.
Yeah.
Let's
misuse
silly.
Him.
Yeah, yeah, let's make him the same character he was in Punchline. It makes no sense.
Okay, so mine, I'm going to give it one high goal.
Really?
I enjoy this movie, and
do
I'm not sure
now?
Why. It's really terrible.
Wow.
But it's so predictable, and it's so dumb.
I just learned
and
something
so
about my
awful.
Wife today.
And, yeah, what do you mean, that I love trash
no,
movies?
No, but this particular trash movie, I wasn't aware that
it's
you loved it.
Great.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm going to give it one high goal, because you can
kind.
Try.
Wow.
You can try.
You're
to
pretty
resist.
Kind.
And you can try to hide from his kiss.
Good God.
But you know.
No.
You know that you can't fight the moonlight.
What's that?
It's one Heigel. You can't fight the moonlight.
No, I mean,
so it's fine.
What are you saying? Oh, that's the song that they say. See? I don't know fucking.
I know. But I also.
It's so
generic. Let's say this. Okay. I'm really good at this. One of my hidden talents.
Oh, my God. What song is that?
I have many hidden talents, but one of them, they all have to do with aggravating. And one of them is I like to hum songs in different tunes, and it drives James crazy.
What?
So, yeah.
It does?
Yeah.
I don't think it does.
Because like, it gets it stuck in your head, and you're like, why did I hear that song? And I'm like, yeah. But.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
No, I do the same to you. We
when
try to
I
get
do
songs
America's
in
Funniest Home Videos song, it drives you crazy.
You're the one who has to sing it, so you're
okay.
It's on you, sister.
No, it's a good song, and I love that song. Anyway, if you loved this movie, if you loved our retelling of the movie,
we don't care how you felt about the
whatever,
movie.
Whatever, contact us on social media.
We care about us, damn it.
No, we don't. We don't care about ourselves because we watch all these terrible movies for your enjoyment. Okay, so if you loved our rendition of the movie, or if you also hate this movie, follow us on social media. We are facebook.com, instagram.com, twitter.com/ you got Heigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD. We'll be doing bonus episodes
rate
every
review.
Other week. Yeah, rate and review us on iTunes. That was coming up next. But
sorry,
we do bonus
that.
Episodes
probably
every
forgot.
Week, every other week on Patreon. So patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, same spelling as the other ones.
Yes, we do some fun stuff on there,
We do some
too.
Fun stuff on there. Where, you know, I have James tell me what he thinks movies are about based on looking at a poster. And
it's
not
all comedy.
Movie.
It's fun.
We wrote modernized movies of some of the older movies last time. So yeah, we do those every other week. Find us on Patreon. Rate and review us on iTunes. Or not iTunes. It's
Apple
not
Podcast.
iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts.
Purple icon. Find
it's that
it.
Dang tootin' purple icon. And if you love us, 5 stars, you don't have to tell us anything. If you don't like it, just don't bother. Just move on with your life. We're happy to part ways. It's not a big deal to us. Great.
We'll be
good
fine.
For you. If you want to find me on social media, I'm Twitter or Instagram @SarahHIsFunny. SARAHH is funny. I also have two books. If you like to hear me rant and rave about things and you want to hear me rant and rave about food or terrible bullshit public bathroom policies, I'm your gal, and I've got two books of them, Small Potatoes, on Amazon. And James?
And you can find me at Jimmy P is Funny, or just copy and paste my name and look for me that way. You'll find me eventually, I'm sure. Yeah. Do that. If you want to hear more, you can listen to Crime and Sports every Tuesday and Small Town Murder every Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wherever you listen to podcasts. And I think I'd like to, we had a couple new Patreon people.
Shout them out.
This past week, so we have Rebecca Reed.
Well,
we have
thank you,
Roxanne Mason.
Cool.
Oh, and she says that we should do the best little whorehouse movie.
Oh, okay,
I love that.
That's
movie.
Dolly, isn't
yeah,
it?
That's, yeah, that's I love Dolly.
This movie is an updated version of a movie Dolly would have been good in.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Dolly should have been in this movie.
Yeah.
John Betancourt, Alexis Saltzman, Andrew Hollier, Mandy McKenzie. Troy Mongillo.
Did it sound like it was a style?
Karen McKay and Sam Marshall. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
Hanging out with us. We have, I put a merch shop up. I'm trying to figure out how to get the, because I made one before and I don't know what happened, but it got in, it became inactive. So it's haggleyourself.threadless.com. I think I put up a post about it, but we've got some shirts. Like it says, like I've got like an I'm Abroad one now, probably going to make a Real House Daughters.
That's it's got to be a Real House Daughters
of New
Jersey.
That's a really good shirt now. So yeah. Talk to us about, talk shit about movies that you guys love to hate and, you know, just go haggle yourself.
Go haggle yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.